You are holy, Lord. You are awesome. You are great. You are way bigger than our brains can even imagine or think. We love you and praise you and thank you for Heidi as she comes to speak to us. Just may her words and the words of your word, the Bible, speak to us and just penetrate our hearts. And may we act on those as we go out through the week.
So good morning. I had one request for a song that we're going to sing at the end. It's Crowder, my favorite. But that second song about God being the same as he was, and he is the same today as he was then, wasn't picked by me. It was picked by God, because that's what I'm talking about. And evidently, we now have to wear attire that goes with your teaching. So this is hard to keep up with. But I got this sweatshirt from my brother and his family for my birthday this fall. And so I have a friend at work who watches online. And she told me, make sure you turn around so everybody can see the back. So I'm going to read you what it says on the back as I turn around, because I can't see it, obviously. So I'll turn around, but the front part says, I love you. So hopefully that lines up with the camera. But it says, dear person behind me, the same God that created the oceans and mountains thought that the world needed one of you too. Love the person in front of you. So when I talk to you, I got to make sure I give you my back too, to finish it. I hate that when you see a shirt and it's like, what? Yes? What else does it say? There are just a couple announcements of things that's going on. We had over 200 last night for the meal. Over 100 of them were takeout, and we were able to give the fire department 2 big trays of shepherd's pie. And we actually have some for the food pantry today to take, so people can take some home today if they didn't make it last night, or even if they did, they can have seconds or thirds. So that's a blessing. We have, don't forget, your life groups this week, and the furniture ministry is open Tuesdays and Thursdays at 2 o'clock here. And I think, I heard there was a big birthday, but I don't know if I should say anything, because I'm a couple months older than they are. But there was a big birthday party last night. Did you guys know that? 50? Was that 50 you said? 50? 50! Woo! I heard there was a big party going on last night because Grammy and Grandpa had all the kids. They were gearing up, letting them run around last night. Had to tuckering them out. So, I did not know that Roland and Scott, well, of course it was February, was going to be talking about love when I was planning on helping out teaching this month. So it ties in, of course, all is God's timing of what I'll be talking about. So I wanted to talk about if you have God in your life. So I'm looking around to everybody here, and I pretty much know everybody here. But my question is, if you have God in your life, and how do you know that you have God in your life? Do you hear him? Do you see him? Do you feel him? Do you walk with him? Do you talk with him? Do you spend time with him? Have you walked on water? Has he parted the waters for you? And have you been saved from a fiery furnace? Those are the things I want you to think about in your life this morning in your relationship with God. And I had an interesting conversation with a coworker who was talking about religion. And she's like, well, you're religious. I said, well, I'm a Christian. I'm not religious. And they're like, and there was 2 of them there. And I'm like, the Christianity is not a religion. It's a walk. It's a relationship. We don't have to do something to get connected with God. He just is there with us all the time. And we have to be in relation with him. We don't have to practice certain things or pray a certain prayer. He's with us, and it's just like a human being. We can talk with him about anything. So in Genesis, I'm going to bring you through to show you some people in the Bible. Genesis 2, all right, 15 through 18. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you do eat of it, you will surely die. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Right there, it shows that he had a relationship with Adam. He spoke to him. Look, you have all of this. Just don't touch that. That would be enough for me. Don't touch that. You're going to die. Oh, okay. Not a problem. He had all of that. He spoke to him. He loved him enough to put boundaries up. And he loved him enough to make him another human being to have relationship with, to be with. So already, right in the very beginning of time, it shows us that God is a relational God. Genesis 3, 8, then the man and his wife, this is after they sinned, because you told them not to touch something, they're going to touch it. We all know how that works. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. He heard him in the garden. I don't know what that sounds like, but obviously he knew it was God walking in the garden. He didn't say he heard a sound. He didn't say he saw the leaves blowing. He said he heard God walking in the garden. So obviously he knew what that sounded like. Obviously they had walked together before in the garden. And he hid from him. He separated himself from God because he was shameful of the decision he made. Now, later on, you can see that there was a consequence, but it doesn't say that God now didn't want him in his life because they disobeyed. There was a consequence, but he still made them prosper, and he still made them a part of his life and kept in their lives. So I have a couple pictures. All right, here we go. Just of some men, because God is our father. He is our child. He doesn't look at us as we are, you know, 50, you know, getting up there. It's all right. I'm a couple months ahead of you. He looks at us as his child. He's our father, and he cares about us, and he's with us whether we're hurting, whether we're just going for a walk through our daily life, or we're sleeping. He's with us constantly. There's a dad with his sick child. He is in relation with us. Exodus 3. I know a lot of you know these, but I'm just pointing out some people. Exodus 3 is when Moses... That's called the burning bush. That's what type of bush it is. I don't think it's the bush that Moses saw, but it could be the burning bush on fire. It could have been. We don't know. But Exodus 3, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire and it didn't burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why, the bush doesn't burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from him from within the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He says, here I am. What? He says, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. What does that tell you about God? He hears us. I don't think the Israelites thought God was even there anymore. They were in such oppression and crying out to him. How many years have they been crying out to him? And now he's heard them and he's done. He's done listening to his children cry out to him, and he's going to rescue them. Again, that tells us that he loves them. Were they obeying? I'm sure they weren't obeying. We're all born sinful. We just saw Adam and Eve sin, and we all come from them, so we're not going to be born perfect. We're going to be born sinners. He was concerned, and he heard their cries. He does the same thing for us. He hears us. It might not feel like he hears us, but he does. 1 Samuel 1. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but Elkanah, whatever, I know it will come up at me later on. He had two wives, okay, right here in 1 Samuel. Here's another one, Penina, whatever her name is. She had children, and his second wife, Hannah, did not have children. And Penina was very, very cruel to Hannah. She antagonized her because she had no children. And she antagonized her and provoked her to irritation so badly that she would cry and cry and not eat. She couldn't eat because she was, they don't say depressed, they don't use the words depressed, but she was being bullied by the other wife. And she cried out to God and lamented to him that she didn't have children, and she wanted that. And then what does God do? 1 Samuel 3, she gives him a child, and his name is Samuel. He heard her cry. He blessed her with a child. What does she do with that child that she was blessed with? She gave him to God's service. When he was old enough, she brought him to the temple. He stayed with a man named Eli. The boy Samuel ministered in 1 Samuel 3 before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" He says, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and laid down. Again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" How many times is that now? Twice. "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up, went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Now, it says that Eli was going blind, but he's not going in his mind. So then it dawned on Eli, God's calling him. I know it's not me. God's calling him. He realized that the Lord was calling the boy, so Eli said, "Samuel, go back down and lie down, and if he calls you, I want you to say this. Say, 'Lord, speak, for your servant is listening.'" So, okay, that's three times God's called him. Samuel went and laid down. The Lord came, it says, and stood there, calling, as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Three times he said it. The fourth time, God's like, "I'm going to say it, but I'm going to stand right there, because this boy's not getting it." But it says that Samuel didn't know the Lord yet. It says right there that he didn't know the Lord yet, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So he's not in relation with God. He's hearing a voice. He thinks it's Eli, because he's supposed to be helping take care of Eli, and he's supposed to be serving. He didn't know. But Eli has a relationship with God. And he told Samuel, "Go back. It's God speaking to you." So sometimes when we are even in relation with the God, but we're distant from him, sometimes it does take other people to tell us, I think you ought to go on that missions trip. No, I don't know. I don't have enough time off from work. I don't have the money. I can't do this. I can't do that. Sometimes it takes our brothers and sisters to point things out to us, whether they're good or bad. Sometimes it takes that because our vision is blurred. So he hears Hannah, and then he continues Hannah's relationship with God through her son, and he builds that relationship with Samuel. The Bible is full of people. I've said it, I think, the last time I taught. This Bible isn't about people. It's about God and the people that he touched and the people that whose lives he was in. And there's so many people in here that we can see the proof that they heard God, they saw God, and they even felt his presence. So you might be thinking, yeah, that's all in the Bible. That doesn't happen now. I don't walk up to a burning bush. I don't see the seas parted. I don't see a blind man healed, things like that. But in the song that we sang earlier, the same God then is the same God now. He does still work in us, and he still makes those things available to us. He is Joshua 1. Joshua 5, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God has walked with me to many places. And as a kid, of course, I thought that meant, well, if I go to the store, he's with me. If I go on a mission trip, he's with me. If I go to bed, if I go to school. It's not that it's just that. It's more than that. It's when you are all alone and you feel like nobody else is there. It's when you are in fear, it's when you are in anxiety, it's when you are in depression, it's when you are in joy, it's when you are in celebrating, he is there. If I have felt any distance, or if you have felt any distance from God, it's not God. He's right there beside us. He just told me that. He just said it right here. I'm with you wherever you go. It doesn't matter. He's not going to leave us. He created us. He loves us. He's already shown us that he's a God of relation. So it's on us if we feel the distance. Then that means we need to stop whatever we're doing and we need to get back to being with him. I don't know if you guys have ever had God speak to you. Now, I don't know why I'm looking back there. It's right there in front of me. It's one of those things. Let's see. Oh, that's backwards. Oh, it's because it's upside down. Pray for Tom. He's got his hands full. So, God speaks to me. I haven't had a burning bush. But I get up in the morning very early, and I head to work, and I get to see the sunrise every morning. And at times in the winter, I'm working long enough that I see the sunset too. Well, not working long enough. The days are short enough that I get to see the sunset too. Let's correct that. So when God speaks to me, he speaks to me repeatedly. And it reminds me of Samuel. Like, come on. He repeats it through scripture, through family, through you guys, my church family, through song. If I hear the same message over and over and over again, I'm like, all right, I got it. I got to figure out what to do with it. And I've got to make sure that it's from God. Because I don't think he's telling me to have more chocolate. I don't think he's telling me to do that one more thing. You know, it's like, I don't need another helping. I don't need, you know, to go spend money on that. But he does speak to me. And I had a very strange thing occur. I used to work at Dairy Queen in Westbrook right here. and I ran the little restaurant part out front. And this was about 6 years ago. And I was having a hard time focusing on my job because I had a lot of things internally going, emotionally and in my personal life. And I just didn't want to be there. I just want to go home. I just want to hide in my bed, and I don't want to get dressed, and I just want to eat in bed, and I don't want to see anybody. That's what I felt like all day. Nobody knew that, but that's what I felt like. And this person walks up to the counter to make their order, and they said to me, this customer said to me, they said, "Thank you for always being upbeat. You're always smiling, you're always patient, and you're always kind. You are always happy and pleasant when I come in here. And I just had to tell you that today." I was just like, I don't know who you are. I mean, like, I recognize that they come often, but they don't know anything. But God knew what was inside, and he knew that that needed to change. My channel needed to change, and my attitude needed to change, and say, you need to be here right now, you need to be in the present, and you're doing what you're doing, and you're where you're supposed to be. So that was very strange to have somebody, that was my burning bush. Like, that was just weird. Just very weird for someone to say that to me. But, and I feel God. I feel God, especially in nature. I have a much better shot than that, but somehow I can't get it from my phone to the computer right now. Don't know what's going on, but I have some gorgeous shots of up on the Eastern Prom up there. But that's over at work, so that's the sunrise. But, you know, walking in nature, a lot of outside, flowers. Let's see what else I got. Yep, going on trails. I see him everywhere, and I can't imagine what the Garden of Eden looked like. I cannot imagine it, and I hope to see it again. We can't fathom what God has in store for us. I've received many hugs from people when only he knew the heartbreak I was in. I would get a random hug from a friend or a family member. When the enemy was yelling and shaming and belittling and accusing and blaming, and there was nowhere for me to go, I couldn't get out of that. At the end of each day, this right here, this very Bible I've had since 1986, this right here, I would lay in bed and I would sleep facing the wall, facing out, and I would hug this Bible, and I would cry and ask God, why is the enemy up my butt? Why is he in my face? I can't get out of it. And we all have the same enemy. He just works in different ways. We all have the one same enemy. And the only thing, I didn't get a why. I never got a why. I still haven't gotten a why, and I might not ever get a why, but that's okay. The important thing is how he made me feel at that time. He gave me peace, and he gave me his protection, and it was like a barrier around me. And that's all I needed. That's all I needed. Now, there's more pictures. I got a surprise for you. I see him. I see him in you guys. I see him, what he's doing in your life. And that's so important that we share what he's doing in our lives, because other Christians need to be encouraged and other non-believers need to see that God is working in lives. I see him through your character. I see him through his character in the Bible, and I see him working in my life. And I see him through his word and all the people in it. I got some more creation here for my favorite tree. I had to put her in there. I had to. You can't. I mean, that's just the cutest face. She's playing in her snow. But anyway, God created ferrets. Doesn't matter what Scott says. They're better than the wombat thing or whatever he likes. Yeah, they look better on socks and shirts too. But anyway, I feel him through all of you guys. You know, we're family, and we're brothers and sisters. And lastly here, the fiery furnace. Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We kind of know that story. They were not going to worship God that the king wanted them to worship. And there was three people that went in. And even the soldiers that tied them up and put them in the furnace, or threw them in, however they wanted to do it, they burned and died. And the three Christians did not burn. And the king was watching and saw a fourth person in there with them. And it doesn't say if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were like, hey, what you doing? How'd you get in here? You know, it doesn't say that they saw the fourth person. It just says there was a fourth person in there with them. That's all it says. It doesn't matter if they saw him or not. They knew that their God was going to save them, whether from the fire or if they did die, they still are going to be saved because they're going to be up in heaven with him. So either way, they were going to win. But they were not going to serve that God that the king wanted him to serve. So if God can do that for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he can do that for us and with us, whatever fire we're in, whatever heat we're under, whatever pressure we're under, whatever we are back up against the walls, he can pull us through it. He'll be there. We just need to ask him. He's always with us, so he's there. He's just waiting for us to talk to him. There's another way out, and we just talked about it in Exodus. Well, the Exodus Israelites were leaving. So in Exodus 13, this is interesting because God has a sense of humor and he knows us very well. When Pharaoh led the people, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though it was shorter. That's what it says right here. Nope, that was a shorter way. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert towards the sea. They weren't carrying canoes on their shoulders or kayaks or rafts. They had what they had with them. They had their family. They had their whatever food and clothes on their back. And he went the long way around and led them right to the ocean. I don't know what they were thinking. The enemy is behind them, coming up on them, and they're facing an ocean. I imagine a few might have been upset with God because they were following his lead. And he led them to the ocean. Like, ooh, we're just going to die. We should have gone back to Egypt. They're coming after us. We've got a big ocean in front of us. What are we supposed to do? So what did God do? He split the waters and said, there's your path. I want you to go that way. There's your dry land. Go that way. And I'm sure someone were like, yeah, right. Well, they're just going to come right in behind us. You know, they're coming up on us. But he didn't. He made sure his people, his children, were on that dry land. And as soon as they got across, or even halfway, he's closing up the water. And he's crushing those soldiers and those horses and everybody behind them. And he wiped them out completely. Why did he not go the short way? That would have been too easy. He needs to prove to them. He wanted to prove to them, I've got you. I've got you. This is the way. That is a clear message. That's a clear message of seeing, oh, it's dry. How do you do that? I mean, I can't imagine walking through there and like, all right, gotta hurry up, run. Maybe we should send one at a time, see if he makes it. I don't know. It would have been, it'd be interesting to talk to them about that. But he does split the waters for us. He does show the way of which way we're supposed to go. But if we're not in relation with him, we can't see it. We've got to make sure that we're staying close with him so we can see the dry land, so he can show us. He has done that for me before. I've been in a situation where there was nowhere to go, and oddly enough, he made somebody share with me an opportunity, and that was very odd for that person to be even offering what they did. And I knew it, but I'm like, okay, why are you telling me this? And it was ahead of what I needed. It was just, you know, an opportunity. I'm like, that's just kind of weird. And 2 weeks later, I had to take that opportunity. I was in a situation where I had to take that opportunity that that person offered me. And I did, and that was my dry land. And soon after that, I had the opportunity of walking on the water. Scott has talked about, have you walked on the water? I taught early childhood for 23 years, and I really wanted my son to have an opportunity to be with other men, to have that camaraderie with other men at a camp, at a YMCA camp in the woods. And in order to do that, I wasn't able to bring him back and forth and whatnot because of my childcare, early childcare position that I was in. So I quit my job. And I decided, well, if I can't bring him there, I'll just go work for them. And thankfully, I loved seeing my old parents that I used to have because she was the head of the Y that the camp was, that took care of the camp. So I just made a phone call and I said, Anne Marie, I don't know, I'd like to come work for you guys. She goes, oh, come on up. And I was hired and I did the little kids. But I was able to do that camp with him, and he was able to be with other men and go fishing and hiking, you know, canoeing, and see men in a different light that he needed. But that job was $3 or $4 less an hour than what I was making, and I was now on my own, having to provide for my son and I, and that was the second scariest thing I've had ever do, besides walk through the splitted waters. That was the second time I actually had to step out and walk on water, and it is scary to do it, but I've learned that the more you do it, I can't say it's easier, but it's more comfortable, because you're trusting him. And just like Peter looked down at the water and looked at his situation and started to sink, we do the same thing. How many times do we focus on what's wrong and we don't focus on him, and we're trying to fix it, and we start to sink? And he'll pull us out. He did with Peter. He pulled him out. And I don't know how many times he's pulled me out. And every time he pulls me out, every time, I don't get slack for it. I get reminded, like, and why are we here again, Heidi? Yep, I know, it's me, it's not him, he's right there. He pulls me out of those waters every single time. Just as Peter took courage. He was testing Christ a little bit. All right, Christ, if it's you, then tell me to walk on the water. So he does part the waters for us. He does speak to us through other people and odd situations, and he does ask us to step out on the water and trust him. And as I've mentioned before, you got to look back. You've got to remember what he's done. And I know that song, I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've already done. And we need to focus on what he's already done for us, because it makes it easier to go through what we're doing. So I ask you again, as I asked you before, do you have God in your life? Do you really have a relationship with him? He's a relational God. He created you. If you say yes, that's great. I encourage you to keep walking and keep talking and stay close to him and keep serving and keep learning. Keep learning. I don't know how many times I've heard these stories and then somebody else says it different and it's like, I didn't know that. How was that? We learn something because we're also in a different part of our life than we were the last time we heard it. So I encourage you to keep your relationship with him and keep working on it. If you answered no, God loves you. He loves you so much. He created you just the way you are. And he misses you. And he wants a relationship with you. No matter where you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you're going, he wants a relationship with you. He loves you. And there are, Psalm 103, there are some benefits that he gives us, believe it or not. There's a lot of benefits. I have some benefits and some promises that he makes to us. It's a lot of psalms. Evidently, it's taken me a bit to get there. Psalms 103, I'm just going to read the first few verses. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Those are some good promises. Those are some good benefits. I have some promises. He promises to walk with us, guide us, listen to us, encourage us, empower us. He provides for us. He will protect us. He will forgive us. And he loves us unconditionally. And he has secured eternity for us. He has a spot for us up in heaven with him. We all live for eternity, but it's our decision where we live for that eternity, whether it's with him or not. The world is a very lonely and cruel place, and it's a hard place to walk alone. It's a very hard place to walk alone. And we were created to be in relation with him, and he is our Father, and we need to receive his Holy Spirit to be able to walk this earth. And when you're a Christian and you have Christ in your life, that doesn't mean that hardships won't come. It means that when we have hardships, we're not alone to do those hardships. He's going to walk us through that fire, and he's going to make that path clear. It's a lot easier with God in it, and it's a lot better with God in it. If you, the song that we're going to sing from Crowder is, I just remembered, I was thinking Billy Graham always had Come As You Are, right, after his teaching. Well, this is my version, Crowder. So the crew is going to come up, but I want to invite you, if you don't know the Lord, and you want that life with him, and you want that relationship with him, I will be up here after the service. Ed, the guy on the piano, he'll be up here, and if anybody wants to come talk to me or him, and you want to know more about it, it's easy, you guys. You don't have to change your life. You don't have to quit eating them cupcakes. You don't have to wash up to take a bath. It says that he came to not condemn us, to invite us to live in sin no more. And all we have to do is know and believe that Jesus died for our sins long before we were even in the womb or even thought of in our parents' lives. He already had it planned out. So I just hate for anybody to not have God in their life. It's amazing. Yes, life is a struggle, but I'm not alone. As long as I remember that he's right there. And I don't take things on my own. So I'm going to pray, and these guys will put out the last song. And please just listen to the words to this. Sing along with it if you want to, but it's a great song. So let's pray. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, thank you for every single person that has come to worship you today. Thank you for a place that we can come whenever we want, and we can read our Bible out in public and not be persecuted for it. Thank you for this time together, and thank you for the worship team, and thank you for music, Lord. We lift our voices now to sing to you, and I just pray that every person that walks out this door today has a wonderful week, and they look to you when those rough waters come. When those struggles come, they look to you for help. You have the plan in your hands. We just need to be looking to you, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.